But first, technology may not be the answer to the mislabeled or lost information about veterans buried at Arlington National Cemetery. Army Chief Information Officer Lieutenant General Jeff Sorensen knew from the moment the problems became apparent at that cemetery that his office would play a big role in helping ensure Arlington National's databases are accurate and verifiable so that people can find their loved ones and know exactly where they're buried. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us with details about where Sorensen believes technology can help the cemetery's problems. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what is the Army CIO's role in fixing these problems at Arlington?
Well, actually, you know, from the day the DOD and the Army leadership really became aware of the problems and then they were made public, Sorensen said that his office was tasked with helping.
On my staff, I got a guy named Colonel John Schrader, who has right now been detailed to work this specifically on behalf of the Secretary of the Army from the CIOD-6. To go back from a technology standpoint and, quite frankly, do a clean sheet of paper, let's figure out how we can do this differently.
So this member, it's only been a few months, so Schrader's just really getting started down that path. And I caught up with Dave Foster, a spokesman for the Arlington National Cemetery. He says Schrader, like most of the new leadership at the cemetery, are in research mode right now. Foster says it's too early to say how or where technology can help solve these problems. They're in that enterprise architecture phase, if you really want to get into the details, the as-is, the to-be, that type of thing. But, you know, I asked General Sorensen that same question, how is technology going to make a difference, when he spoke earlier this week at a breakfast sponsored by the market research firm Input.
In essence, what he's trying to do is make sure that there is, ultimately, I would say, a web capability so that people can go log in, if you will, find out where their loved one has been buried. It's accurate, it's authoritative, and the information is correct.
Obviously, this is out of your hands, but is there, do you know, timing-wise, anything around the timing of when we should see something from some changes?
First of all, it was the whole process of doing an inventory. So some of the things they've been looking at in many cases is, you know, using this commercial technology to go about and look at each one of the stones, the headstones, make sure it's recording the database properly. So I would say right now step one is just doing the inventory. And I think they found that there is a small percentage, not a large, but a small percentage, where the database is inaccurate. And so right now they're just trying to get that database fixed. Ultimately, they want to put this into a web hosting capability so they get some development, further development in terms of that piece of it, in terms of the user interface. I can't really give you a specific time frame, but it's as quick as they can.
Now, Catherine Condon is the executive director of the Army National Cemeteries Program, and she recently told Congress that she expects some initial progress to fix these problems in about 6 months or so, and longer term, about 12 months. Soren says, very interestingly, that, listen, the problems came up from the fact that demand went up for the use of cemetery services, and the services, the resources were not there to meet that demand, and when the process broke, it broke in a cataclysmic way.
Now, we had Bobby Kilberg yesterday from the Northern Virginia Technology Council on. She was talking about that organization's offer to help. I think they had 29 vendors that are contractors that are members of the Technology Council. And you've been talking to industry as well. What have you learned about some of the potential fixes to these database problems?
Obviously, there's a lot of veterans who work for government contractors, and they want to help. And that, I think that's where what you probably heard from Bobby Kilberg yesterday in terms of, hey, we're here, let us jump in here and do what we can. That's a big job. I mean, among other things, they have to digitize 600,000 paper records. I caught up with Al Mink, a business development director at SRA International in their National Security Division. Mink also is an Air Force veteran. He says, obviously, technology is not the only solution, but it will play a big role in fixing these problems.
If I had to look at the greatest challenge that DOD has, it's not the technology. Having a database, you know, when you're talking about, you know, under a million records, is tiny. Look at someone in the stock market where they do billions of transactions in near real time per day. So it's not a technical issue there in the database itself and the computation needs. And then having a separate visualization layer where people can tap into the database through different views, that's fairly straightforward, and we see it all the time in the commercial world. So those things, I think, and having it made available so the public can view it and other people can update it, those folks can do in their sleep. However, the transition of today's data, some of it largely on cards, and the mismatch and the verification into the database so that you don't have garbage in, garbage out, that's going to be extremely challenging given the status of the data right now. Okay, and it's not just that records are missing. Sometimes that's easier to know that you're missing records. It's even worse when you can't rely on the information.
He says most of the challenges and changes will have to come from the governance and oversight, really the soft skills that we talk so often about whenever we talk about change in government. That is the idea of knowing what the systems look like now, where they need to go in the future. And I think that's a lot of what Condon's and her team's really initial efforts about. Mink also says there's other technologies such as RFID and GPS, and even, you know, something like barcoding technology could really help in tracking and finding veterans easier. I mean, that's what this is about. We make sure there's verifiable and accurate records of who is buried and where, and we can track that stuff. Now, Mink also says an automated workflow process also could be beneficial to the entire burial process. You know, from the time that a soldier dies to when he's buried into the future. And I think that's really what MVTC, which Mink actually is a part of, really wants to offer up the ideas and suggestions around how different technologies could play into this.
Now, General Sorensen, you know, clearly is part of this whole Arlington fix. And so is other parts of the Army as well. What are some of the areas as CIO that General Sorensen is focusing on?
Well, when we talk about the Army, we have to talk about their two biggest programs that Sorensen's working on, enterprise email and data center consolidation work, really now known as the Army Private Cloud. Let me start with the Private Cloud. The Army issued an RFP last month for Private Cloud inside the U.S. and outside the U.S. The one inside the U.S. will be either contractor-operated and contractor-owned, or government-owned and contractor-operated. So this is a pretty interesting take on where they want to go with it. The Army also wants a mobile cloud. So these are data centers that can meet urgent needs for the Army in terms of enduring contingency operations where rapid or temporary cloud computing is needed. Now, as for email, Sorensen offered this update.
With the enterprise email, what we're doing is we have partnered with DISA, and they're going to provide this as a service to the Army for the first 250,000 Army personnel. And so we're not going to do that. We took that RFP back.
Now, the goal is to get all the eventually everyone in the military a .DOD email address. So right now you have Army.mil, you have Navy.mil. Eventually the end goal is .DOD, and I think that's pretty fascinating. The Army's piloting because of their base realignment and closure of BRAC work that's going on. Sorensen felt like this is the perfect opportunity to make that switch. Now, email is just one of several functions that he's really consolidating what he's calling an enterprise service desk. This includes eliminating help desks. In fact, at Fort Belvoir, he said there were 6 different help desks, and none of them were communicating. So they are going to consolidate that to one. Also making, you know, having one active directory, which is a list of email addresses across the service, into one. And actually, they're going to standardize around 6 NetOps tool or network operations tools to be more consistent about how they do that. The end goal of all of this, and we heard about this, I think, last week when we talked about apps for Army, is to get to a common operating environment, and really not just for the Army, but really for all of DOD. And finally, he says the new memo on an agile software development is still planned to be released later this month, so something to be on the lookout as well.
FY10 budget, again, we continue to find things in terms of these lanes, the battle command, the network, generating force, close to about $10 billion. We're not making any massive changes in this particular budget as we did, but I will tell you as we get to the POM 13-17, as well as we're building now the 12 budget, there are going to be some changes in these programs to get at what we're trying to achieve here.
So obviously we'll know more about those changes in store for 2012 in February when the president releases his total budget to Congress. But Sorensen, I think, is giving some insight into the direction the Army is going and really where the whole DOD is heading.
And Jason, just a real fast question. Through all the cemetery business, where has the Army CIO's office been in the first place? It sounds like they had some runaway contracting going on until this was all brought to light.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that the Army CIO's office is kind of removed from the cemetery stuff. He, you know, that's why I think Colonel Schrader was detailed to go help immediately. Now, you know, I guess some people could question, well, it's technology. Shouldn't the Army CIO office be in charge of that? And I think that there's, you know, probably a couple schools of thought out there. So it'd be interesting to see if this actually gets talked about as we move further out. Should the Army CIO's office have more oversight over cemetery and other technology systems?
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, thanks very much for that report.
Always a pleasure.